Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're concluding a series today on the promise, God's everlasting covenant. It's been an amazing series. If you've missed any, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess, and you can watch the whole series. I know you'll be blessed. Today's topic is a beautiful one, the new covenant life. What does it look like? What are the characteristics of a life that has a living connection with our great and awesome God? We're glad you're with us, and we pray you'll be blessed. And welcome to our team. Good to be together again, isn't it?
Yeah.
What a great series. What's the most important lesson we've learned in this series on the God's everlasting covenant? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's how much God loves us, right?
Yes.
He wants us to
he
be with him so and to know his love for us. As Jesus said, I pray that they would be with me where I am. What an amazing promise we have through Jesus our Lord. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School viewers around the world. And you can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. We share it with the team, even our media team, because we're encouraged, right? As we hear what God's doing. Here's a note from Ian in Botswana. Where's Botswana?
It's Africa.
It's in Africa. That's a good general area, right, Billy? We'd like to express our gratitude for your tireless efforts in recording Hope Sabbath School programs, the eagerness with which it's presented, the beaming faces animated by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Only glory will reckon the far-reaching influence and impact on the masses out there. That's true, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
Be blessed, all of you. We are happy to be part of the largest Sabbath school ever. Well, Ian, thanks for writing to us from Botswana. And we do pray that our faces reflect the amazing glory of God. Here's a note from Weiler in Brazil. Oh, Sabina, that's your home country, right? W-Y-L-L-E-R. How would you say that in Portuguese?
That's a different name.
It's a different name, okay.
It's not really Brazilian, but Weimer.
W-Y-L-L-E-R. Weiler.
Wheeler.
Wheeler, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get a lot of Brazilians writing to us and telling us how to say that name. But anyway, we give you a wave. Let's give Wheeler or Weiler a wave. Right. I'm an Adventist from Brazil, and I'm learning English. So I'm using the marvelous programs on Hope Sabbath School to help me.
Okay.
But also, it increases my knowledge about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much for this ministry and for spending a long time with closed captioning on the videos, because that helps me a lot. You guys have no idea how much that helps me. Well, some of you know, learning a second language, how having closed captioning can be a great blessing. And you know, we have Hope Sabbath School members in how many countries around the world? More than 200.
Wow.
So many of them, English is not their first language.
Wow.
That's why we tell people on the team, speak slowly and clearly, because many of you I know are watching with another language as your mother tongue. I pray that God will continue to bless you as you do his work. Sorry for my English, he says. One day I will be able to communicate better. Well, you did a great job, and we apologize. I couldn't even say your name right. So maybe you can send me the phonetic pronunciation of your name all the way from Paraná.
Paraná.
Yeah. Paraná, yeah. Brazil. I got that right. Thanks for writing to us. All right, here's a note from a donor in Iowa. That's kind of right in the heart of the U.S., right? Iowa? And the donor writes and says, Dear Hope Channel family, we've been watching you every day, and we pray that God will pour a double portion of his Holy Spirit on you for sharing his word. Amen?
Amen.
That's our prayer. Enclosed is a small gift to help your ministry. Thank you. God bless you every day. And a donation of $100.
Amen.
And bless the ministry of Hope Channel. Well, thank you. We're a donor-supported ministry. You can go to hopetv.org/donate or go to our website and click on the yellow button. Thanks for being part of this miracle called Hope Sabbath School. Well, here's another unusual name. The person lives in Hyderabad, India. The name is Shirish. Shirish. And the person writes, Hello, Hope Sabbath School.
Hello. Hello.
I've been watching Hope Sabbath School and listening to the songs for the past 3 or 4 years.
Oh, wow.
I've never missed an episode until now. I'm really blessed to hear the studies and the discussions, which are organized in a very nice way. God bless you all. Well, we say God bless you, Shirish, all the way from India. And isn't it amazing? We've got a Hope Sabbath School family all around the world. Here's one last note from Jean, writing from the Solomon Islands. Jean writes and says, I love watching and joining the Hope Sabbath School discussion with you all. I cannot explain the feeling of calmness and blessing I always feel when I'm watching Hope Sabbath School. Now, we know, Stephanie, that's not us, right? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it?
Amen.
Thanks for doing God's work. May He continue to bless you all in your ministry. May we all meet in heaven with Him one day soon. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you all. Well, Jean, thanks for writing from the Solomon Islands. You know, we should make a plan to all meet somewhere like off to the left side of the throne of God, you know. We should say, let's have a Hope Sabbath School meeting. But I think we've got eternity to coordinate that. Oh. What we've learned from this series, more important than anything else, is we're going to be with Jesus, who loves us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love us with an immeasurable and unfailing love. Well, right now, we need your help to sing our theme song. We're not allowed to sing in the studio because of the pandemic, but we love to hear you sing. It's our theme song from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Let's sing it together.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing songs to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works.
Together. Our Father in heaven, we do just like the scripture song said, we want to call upon your name. First of all, to bless your name, to give you thanks. You are a great and awesome God. Thank you that you are a God who always keeps your promises. Today, as we study about the new covenant life, I know that that's your desire for each one of us who's joined the study today, that we would experience life and life more abundantly. So may the Holy Spirit energize us as we read, as we share, and as we join in this in-depth, interactive study of your word. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if I were to ask you to describe what are some of the characteristics of a new covenant life, you say, well, it must be better than before you have a living connection with God, right?
Yes.
We're going to look at a few of the characteristics of a new covenant life. That's a life that has entered into this loving, transforming relationship with God. And maybe you'll say, well, I can think of some others and we'll catch those at the end. But we're going to start with something Jesus said in John 15, verses 9 through 11. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. Sabina, if you could begin our study today, these are the words of Jesus, and they give us one characteristic of a new covenant life.
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John chapter 15, verses 9 to 11, and it says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full.
Mm. Now, there's a lot of important truth in those words of Jesus. Mm-hmm. What are some things, Stephanie, that you hear as you listen to the words of Jesus?
That as his Father has loved him, he has loved us.
It's all about a relationship with us, right?
Yes.
He doesn't want us to just know about him.
No.
Yeah. He wants us to know him, mm-hmm. personal living relationship. And what is one of the results of that living relationship?
That our joy will be full.
Yes.
Now, we're from different cultures, you know. Some cultures, you know, if you're really joyful, you know, right? Yeah. And in other cultures, it's like, you know, some of us are more expressive than others. Yeah. But when your joy is full,
yes.
mm-hmm. it's visible, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're going to see it,
yeah.
Billy?
Yeah, one way I try to describe it with my friends is that, you know, imagine when you go on vacation, you know, your favorite spot, and you're having just blast. You're not thinking about work. You're not thinking about anything. You're just enjoying the beach. You're just out there having fun. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you need to come back. But imagine having that experience 24/7, mm-hmm. regardless of what's happening. Mm-hmm. This is like that height of joy that God mm-hmm. Jesus wants us to have with him. Mm-hmm. So
fullness of joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, John, who recorded those words of Jesus, mm-hmm. he didn't forget what Jesus said. Look in his first letter to Christians in 1 John. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, if you could take us to 1 John chapter 1, the first four verses. That word of Jesus left a deep impression on the Apostle John's mind that mm-hmm. one of the characteristics of a new covenant mm-hmm. life is joy, fullness of joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, mm-hmm. that your joy may be full.
Mm. Why would knowing the truth about Jesus bring us fullness of joy? What's the answer? Yes, Travis.
Well, because we just, in a previous lesson, learned that it's Jesus that sets us free. So if God mm-hmm. is love, someone says, if you want to know what God is like, well, Jesus said that. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If we want to know what God is like, just look at the life of Jesus. Well, when we look at the life of Jesus, we see a kind, compassionate, yeah. loving God who wants to redeem us from our sins, who wants to take us through life, who wants to give us joy, who wants to live with us forever. How can you not have joy with somebody like that?
Mm-hmm. So how does that joy actually find its way into our hearts? Is it worked up, you know, let everything get like louder and quicker? No. How does that joy find its way into our hearts? Do you know?
Well.
Yes, Stephanie.
I'm just looking at the verse, the first verse, that we've seen with our own eyes, we've looked upon, we've handled uh-huh. concerning the word of life.
So you would say that by, now we're not actually there with Jesus like John was, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But by studying the life of Jesus, and as Travis said, seeing what an amazing revelation mm-hmm. of the Father his life was, mm-hmm. Joy wells up.
Yes.
But there are some people that read they read the Bible and they go, no, I'm not interested in that. Mm-hmm. Is it not a supernatural work that we experience yes. that fullness of joy, Sabina?
Yes, it's through God's work. It's through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, as you are reading the Bible, you are going to start having your heart change it, and your experiences mm-hmm. will also reflect the presence of God. So at least that's for me how this joy comes. It's in this relationship with God that the Holy Spirit is part of it.
For sure. You know, my wife wrote a little scripture song, the fruit of the Spirit is yeah. love, Joy. That's the next one. Right. Yeah. You had love and joy both in that text too,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That you read from mm-hmm. Jesus. Yeah. Love and joy. The Holy Spirit mm-hmm. brings to us the joy
yes.
of that living relationship with mm-hmm. Jesus. But yes. thank you, Stephanie. It's through spending that personal time mm-hmm. reflecting on Jesus, just as John testified. Mm-hmm. Travis?
In the first verse we read in John 15, it says abide, and you can't abide mm-hmm. somewhere where you don't currently reside. Mm-hmm. So you have to go, and the word abide means stay. You want to mm-hmm. stay there. You mm-hmm. want to go there and stay there. Mm-hmm. You want to stay in your relationship with Jesus. It's not like mm-hmm. come and go and get it. When you stay, you will experience that joy. Mm-hmm.
You know, that same word to abide or to remain is in John 15 mm-hmm. of the branch being grafted mm-hmm. right. into the vine. Abide mm-hmm. in me. So that mm-hmm. ongoing connection, right? Yeah. Not just yeah. a passing connection. Yeah. Yeah, we know the love of God, but we also know the joy of God. Yeah. So what would you say to a person? I mean, have you met people who are professed Christians who don't seem that joyful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
So
sure,
what would you say? Mm-hmm. Is it possible that they're just having a bad day? Is that possible?
Yes.
It is.
It yeah. can
it's
be.
It's possible.
Absolutely.
But what if you don't ever see the fullness of joy in the person? You say, Derek, what about me? What if I don't see the... Yeah. joy of the Lord in me. Mm. Then what do I do, Sabina?
Well, Pastor Derek, I think that the Bible and Jesus even alerted us to the fact that we were going to go through tribulations. And even when we look at the book of Psalms and David, he had so many difficult experiences. But he speaks, for instance, on Psalms 23, which is such a famous psalm, how he could even pass through the, you know, to the valley of death. And knowing that God is there with him, that he would have a banquet in front of him. So that's how I relate with suffering and also eventually encountering Christians who may not be that joyful. They may be going through that valley, but for sure, like if you have that conviction that God is with you and in your experience and walk with him, you know that there is a banquet ahead.
And he does say, my cup runs over, surely goodness and mercy. He starts getting a little joyful at the end
yes.
of the song, doesn't
exactly.
he?
He does.
As he turns his attention away from the dark valley,
to yes. Jesus,
to the house of the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Can you share a time in your experience when you caught a glimpse of the fullness of joy that's ours in the Lord? I guess I'm hearing that that's not going to be every day, though it ought to really undergird our whole life experience. The joy of the Lord is our strength, right?
That's right.
Someone share a time. Maybe you were on a mission assignment, or maybe you were in a worship experience. You just felt the joy of the Lord. Sabina?
I can think of when my niece was born. I'm not a mother, I'm not married, but I have a niece, and I was so joyful when I saw her coming into life. I know this is maybe a simple experience to many people, but if you have a child or someone in your family, I think you have shared this joy as well.
And how old were you, if you don't mind me asking, when the baby was born?
This was about 12 years ago. I was in my 20s, like early 20s.
Okay, yeah. So you were certainly old enough to see everything and understand what was happening.
Yeah.
And you felt the joy of that new life.
Exactly. And recognizing also God as creator and the
so
one who gives life.
It was a spiritual experience.
It was, absolutely. It was the encounter with life that is always being renewed by God's power.
For so me, when we experience special. That kind of joy in our lives, what should we do?
Celebrate.
Celebrate and
share.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Yes. Right?
So thank you.
Thank you, God. That's one of the fruit, I guess, of this new covenant life, isn't it?
Yeah.
That your joy may be full. Travis?
So we were building churches in Malawi, Africa, and putting roofs on. And so we drove many hours through these trails, get back, we're building this church. And while we're building this church, a group of women that came there, and they were serenading us in song while we're putting this roof on the church. We had tears in our eyes, we're building, and they just continued to sing and sing, and they were so happy that they were getting a church and a roof.
Wow.
And we were all in tears when we left that day because we had met such a beautiful group of people, you know, but it brought joy to all of our hearts. We recognized, you know, that they were just so happy.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
Now, I don't know, when I was in Kenya, they would move while they sang.
Yeah.
Did they do that too?
They were happy.
Not just like this, right?
No.
Yes.
So they're happy celebrating what God's doing through your ministry, putting a roof on their church. But you were experiencing the joy of the Lord,
too. Oh, it was amazing.
If we just took this one characteristic, we'd say, that's important. But there are some other characteristics we want to look at. A second one is experiencing freedom from the guilt of sin. Romans chapter 8. Jason, if you could take us to verse 1 of Romans 8. Another characteristic of this new covenant life is freedom from the guilt of sin. What does the Apostle Paul declare in chapter 8, verse 1 of Romans?
I have the New King James Version here. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Now, this is confession time. Don't give me any specifics, please. But have you ever felt condemned because of your sin? Guilty.
Yes.
How does that feel?
Not good.
Not good.
That could really hinder the joy of the Lord, right?
Yes.
So God wants to set you free from that guilt. By the way, guilt is not a bad thing. Guilt lets
it's
you know that you're off track, right?
True.
But freedom from the weight of that guilt, that condemnation, and to set you free. How can a just and holy God do that? Because you deserve to be feeling guilty. You transgress the law of a holy God. How can he do that and still be just? It's called amazing grace, but tell me about it. Yes, Travis.
I was thinking in Romans, the wages of sin is death. It's something we've earned, like you said. But the gift of God, he's giving it to us. You're right, we don't. You know how he can do it? Because he paid the price, and he has the authority to give it to us.
So if I keep walking around, Stephanie, maybe you've heard people, sometimes I'm shocked, people are still burdened down by something that they committed 20 years ago. Right? I mean, they're carrying it like a backpack, heavy. God doesn't want that, right? In the new covenant life, he wants us not only to experience fullness of joy, but freedom from the guilt of sin. How can I help a person that's feeling, they say, oh, well, Stephanie, I've asked to be forgiven, but I still feel defiled. I still feel dirty. I just have that weight of guilt on me. What would you say to her?
I would definitely be praying for that person, because I think the Holy Spirit would need to give me guidance as I speak. But I would try to point her to Jesus, who is, he says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what God says is what he does. So we can trust that, but I think it's really having a building, that person needs to have a stronger and relationship and trust in God. And I think we all have to. Each
maybe,
one of us struggles.
And maybe go back to the Gospels where you see stories like John 8, I don't condemn you, go and sin no more, right? But you quoted a text that you've hidden it in your heart, 1 John 1, verse 9. Maybe we should read it again, because I think if you ask people, can God forgive your sins? But there's something else that God wants to do that you quoted there in 1 John. Billy, do you have that verse, 1 John 1 and verse 9? I just am impressed that we should read it. It was quoted to us by Stephanie.
Sure, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Well, there's another verb that's used here in the English translation. Not only cleanse is one possible word. Another one is
purify.
You say, boy, I'm pure again. Isn't that amazing?
That's a miracle. That's a miracle.
That is a miracle. I'm clean. By the grace of God, that condemnation is taken away. And how does a just God do that? Christ bore our condemnation.
That's right.
He bore our sin and offered us not only forgiveness, but cleansing. A new covenant life, free. You say, I'm happy now.
Yes.
Because when the devil tells me things I did in the past,
mm-hmm.
I can say, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. I've been set free from the condemnation that I deserved.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right? Yes. John chapter 5, verse 24 is a beautiful promise of Jesus. John chapter 5. Jason, do you have it? Verse 24. This is a wonderful passage. It even goes on to talk about the resurrection. Mm-hmm. You know, the dead in Christ are going to rise. It's a powerful passage. Mm-hmm. But look at verse 24 of John 5.
Have the New King James Version here. John chapter 5, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, mm-hmm. but has passed from death into life. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That tells me, by the way, there is a final judgment. It's mm-hmm. clearly taught in Scripture, mm-hmm. but it's telling me mm-hmm. that the outcome's already settled for the person who's accepted Jesus.
Yes, yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's
really praise God.
Praise God. Yes. The outcome's already settled
mm-hmm.
because yeah. I stand mm-hmm. under the righteousness of Jesus.
Amen.
It's a beautiful, beautiful mm-hmm. promise. Yeah. I'm going to experience freedom.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
From condemnation. Before mm-hmm. that, I said fullness of joy.
Right.
Amen.
But I'm also going to experience the love of God mm-hmm. like never before. Billy, mm-hmm. in a previous mm-hmm. study, you were quoting from memory from Ephesians chapter 3.
Right.
But would you read that for us in our study today?
Sure.
Ephesians chapter 3. Let's read the whole passage if you can. It's so beautiful. Verses 14 through 21, because I believe that one of the characteristics of a new covenant life is not only fullness of joy and freedom from condemnation, but mm-hmm. it's experiencing the love of God mm-hmm. like never before. Mm-hmm. How does the Apostle Paul express that in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21?
Sure, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in his inner being, so that Christ may dwell in you, in your heart, through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together mm-hmm. with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ,
wow.
and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
What impacts you the most as you listen? Those words are given by inspiration of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just Paul writing. Mm-hmm. Holy men of God mm-hmm. spoke mm-hmm. as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. right? What impacts you the most, Stephanie, as you hear these? It's like he's wrestling with trying to describe the breadth and depth, the height mm-hmm. of the love of God.
To him who is able to do, he's able to do exceedingly mm-hmm. and abundantly above all that you can ask or think,
mm.
according to the power that works in him.
Mm. That
That's
really impacted you.
Yes.
Mm. He's able.
He's able mm-hmm. to do all of that and more.
Mm. All right. Mm. Sabina, what impacted you as you heard those words?
I think that what impacts me the most here, Pastor Derek, on verse 19, it's when it says that the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. So we can't ever grasp or comprehend the dimension of this love. Even as a Christian, when I feel like I have experienced enough experiences in which I've seen God's love towards me, my family, or friends, and for me it's already reason for joy and fulfillment. But then still the Bible is telling me that his love surpasses my knowledge. So there might be much more.
Maybe eternity to
exactly,
understand yeah. and then just beginning to understand the love of God.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm. Well, we talked about how that joy of the Lord comes to us by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know the love of God also is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that found? Is there a text that talks about God's love is poured into our hearts? Jason, I see you nodding. Where is that found?
That's Romans 5:5.
Romans chapter 5. Would you read that for us? And verse 5. So does that mean, by the way, Jesus did say ask. Does that mean we can ask day by day for the love of God to be poured into our hearts? That's part of the new covenant life. I'm joyful and I'm free from condemnation and I'm filled with the love of God. How does that read in Romans 5:5?
Romans chapter 5, verse 5, New King James Version says, "Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us."
Now, if we just took that, we could say, oh, that's wonderful. I'm just going to experience the love of God like never before. And that's good. But look at another truth in John 7, where Jesus is talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who brings to us a deeper experience of the love of God. John 7, verses 37 to 39. Travis, could you read that for us?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified.
But when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit who brings the love of God, what happens? What did it say?
It passes through.
That's right. Yes. It's like it's not something that we even want to restrict.
Correct.
But out of us flows a river of living water. Wow. The love of God flowing that passes all knowledge.
Yes.
Is flowing through us. The new covenant life is not just about experiencing the love of God. The new covenant life is about what?
Sharing it.
It's about sharing the love of God. You say, Billy, that's really practical. You work for a development and relief agency called ADRA. It's not about just saying, oh, God, you love me so much. That's good.
But it's more than that. It's it's actually, you know, being able to give. What I found most the best thing about my job is, yes, you know, people give them food, give them water. But what I found most rewarding is when they get hope, and the fact that we serve a God who can provide, and the people are. So it's very interesting that Jesus is using the word like thirsty. People are really thirsty for hope. They are really thirsty to know that, you know, they can make it to the next day and things are going to get better. So as much as we can give them water and food, yes, that's okay. But when we give them the hope that, hey, you know, there is a God who's going to give justice. There is a God who's going to make things right. That you who lost your loved one, he's going to make that right. He's going to fix things. He's a fixer. He's a healer. They get that life and that hope that, you know what, I think there is things gonna get better, and sometimes people crave that more than maybe just the food that you give them and the little things that you give them.
We give them the love of God.
Perfect.
Poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, right? Can you think of someone in either in your own life experience or maybe a Bible character where you see the love of God? This is the new covenant life, by the way, right? Not only fullness of joy and freedom from guilt, but the love of God is being poured through that person. Maybe someone you say, yep, she lives next door. Or it may be, no, that I'm thinking of a New Testament Bible character, you know, who's really, you see the love of God being poured through that person. Somebody come to mind, Stephanie?
Yeah, I was thinking of a friend of mine in Florida. And Dina has, it doesn't matter whether she knows the person or not. I called her up and said, can you help? I have a friend who's not feeling well and she needs someone, and she was right over there and spent the entire day with her and prayed with her. And you know that it's unselfish commitment to doing whatever God calls to do, being ready
to let the love of God flow through.
Absolutely.
It's a remarkable witness, isn't it?
It is.
When the love of God. Anybody else? Can you think of either someone in real life now or a Bible character? Yes,
Pastor Derek, I'm just thinking about something that happened yesterday with a friend of mine. They were sharing with me that their water heater broke in their house, and the house is new. It's the first time they are, you know, encountering this issue in a new city that they are living. And they called a friend of them that works with them in the church, and this person who lives about 2 hours away from them is coming today to help them fix the water heater because he's a plumber. And he simply made that out of like a good heart and knowing that, you know, God loves him so much, he's just making that as a gift to them. So for me, this is also an evidence of God's love poured in their lives through the life of this other person who has received this love from God and the Holy Spirit. So I'm excited for them. I know for them it's very important.
And that's a beautiful testimony because it just happened yesterday and today, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What came to my mind just from the Bible was this lady named Tabitha, also called Dorcas, sewing clothes, and she dies and they're weeping. They're bringing clothes. You know, it's like the love of God was pouring through her. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know the end of that story in Acts chapter 8, that she's raised from the dead, right? It's like, wow, amazing. But it's a wonderful thing when we see the love of God being poured through a person's life. Yes. Do you know that God wants that to happen through you and through me? Mm-hmm. That's part of that new covenant life. Experiencing fullness of joy, freedom from condemnation, not only experiencing the love of God more deeply, but allowing His love to flow through us. Share a time when you experienced that, when you were the recipient of the love of God being poured through someone to bless your life. Is there anyone have an experience that comes to mind? We should all be going, but you know, it's not as common as God would want it to be, is it? That stepping aside and just letting the love of God pour through us. Sabina?
I do have many examples that I can think of, primarily from my family, right? My parents. I think that parents usually or should be the primary people that represent this type of love towards us. But I'll give you another example. It's not going to be from my family. It's a friend who has recently helped me move all my things that I had from a city to another and drive 10 hours truck. And for me, up to now, it's very impressive on my heart, this love that this person showed to me, because she had to work. She had to take care of her own dog and other things that she had to do. But still, she took 3 days of her busy week just to help me move all my things and drive this truck so that I wouldn't do that by my own. And that for me is really like an evidence of God's love in her life and to me.
It sounds very practical, right? Yes. Travis, I saw your hand.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I was first, some church members paid for me to go on a mission, the very first mission trip. It's actually the one that started, you know, to change my life. And so I was there, and I was smoking cigarettes yet, and maybe chewing tobacco, and, you know, doing things like that, and even would curse, you know. I wasn't a church-going Christian, you know, Bible-believing Christian, a practicing one at that time, but I went.
So you were invited to go on a mission trip that you were going to see the love of God, but you were definitely a work in progress.
Right, but I knew that I shouldn't do any of these things on the trip, and so I didn't bring anything along, or, you know, but I remember we're eating for we're building a mission house, and we're cleaning up beans to eat out in the jungle, you know, cleaning them up. And I said a bad word. Mm-hmm. And I thought, they're going to kick me out of here. I am gone. And I looked over. His name was Judd. And he looked at me, and he just gave me a smile. And it was he had love in his eyes. It was a forgiving smile. And I knew, okay, I know that I shouldn't have done that. But I'm safe. These guys are safe, and they're not going to condemn me. Mm-hmm. And that impacted me. Even just something small like that impacted me. I realized that this is a group of people that love me and are going to work with me along my journey.
Wow. Beautiful testimony. Yeah. Well, if we just took these characteristics, and by the way, you may be saying, okay, should be experiencing fullness of joy, freedom from condemnation, guilt, and experiencing the love of God and letting the love of God flow through me. Yes. Oh, Lord, That should take me to my knees every day, right?
Yes.
But another characteristic of this covenant, new covenant life, is a wonderful assurance of salvation.
Wow. Yeah.
Wonderful That's assurance powerful. Of salvation. Let's look at a few verses that reinforce that, shall we? John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus is speaking at the graveside of someone named Lazarus, right? But he has something to say about life and new life. Stephanie, would you read John 11, 25 and 26?
Sure, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?"
So there's a challenge here because her brother has just died. And yet, he believed in Jesus as the Messiah. So how is it that people can die and yet Jesus says, you'll never die? Is there one death that is temporary? Yes. And another death that is permanent? Well, let's see what Jesus says. Let's look in John chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. Jason, if you have it, John 6, 39 and 40. We're just actually reading the words of Jesus here because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, right?
Have the New King James Version here. John chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day."
Two times, "I will raise him up." That means even if they fall asleep in the first death, they're not going to stay asleep, right? There's going to be a
resurrection.
Let's look again in John 5, verses 28 and 29. Stephanie, if you could read that for
us. The New King James Version says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation."
Now, a careful study of the book of Revelation will show that there are two resurrections there. They're separated by 1,000 years, actually. That's in Revelation 20. But what's most important is we want to rise in the resurrection of
the living, the righteous, not the resurrection
of condemnation, right? We want to rise up as those who've fallen asleep, trusting in Jesus as our Savior. Is there another Bible text that comes to your mind, not by Jesus now, but one of the apostles, that speaks about this resurrection of those who've fallen asleep in Jesus?
1 Thessalonians
chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm looking, seeing pages turn here. Sabina, do you have it?
Yes.
Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, beginning with verse 13 down through verse 18.
Okay. So I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words."
So when does eternal life begin? Does it begin after, assuming we've fallen asleep, in death, when we're raised in the resurrection, when Jesus comes, when does eternal life begin, Travis?
If we have Jesus, we have eternal life now.
Mm-hmm. Even if we fall asleep for a short sleep.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Anybody agree, disagree? I have come that they may have life and have it
more abundantly.
More abundantly. That's a present experience.
Yes.
So how does it affect you with the trials that we face in life, right? Mm-hmm. We live in a broken world, mm-hmm. to know that you have the assurance even today of that eternal life. Sabina?
Pastor Derek, for me it changes everything. You know, all my entire perspective of life, of goals, of meaning, of purpose is changed by the realization that God made me for eternity and not for here. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that many of us, if not all of us actually, we do everything in our lives thinking of the day we are going to die. You know, the time frame that we have considering your wedding, considering your marriage, considering your work, the upbringing of a child will always be based on the fact that there will be a day in which we're going to die. But if you have in your heart the certainty that this life here is just a part of eternity, then all those other things that appear to be a hindrance to you, you gain a new perspective. You know, even your work, when you are doing work, you are not going to think of a work that is going to vanish soon, but it's a work that can bring results for eternity. And I can think of that in every area of my life, how it affects. And certainly when I learned about this truth here, it changed even my purpose as what I was going to go and do with my life in each one of my days while I'm here, you know.
It begins right now. That's a powerful testimony. Billy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love history. And one thing that I find out in history is that people use death, or people in command use death to force, you know, the people that they have power over, to force them to do things that they would not normally do. Mm-hmm. So death is used as a tool to force people to do anything.
And like the threat of death, you mean?
Yeah.
Is used like a weapon?
As a weapon.
Like, if you don't do this, I'll kill you.
I'll
that
kill
sounds
you.
Like the devil, by the way, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Yep. Yes?
So imagine if you know that, hey, you know, if I have Christ, I have eternal life. So yes, you know, you may kill me, but you won't kill my soul in the sense where, you know, God will raise me up again. So that fear is gone, that death does not have, you know, entire power over me, that even if somebody forced me to do something that I know should not be done, then I'll be able to stand up for what is right and what is and also, you know, do what is right. So I think it's very important to know that the fear of the threat of death, when it's gone, it liberates you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, death, where is your sting? Mm. Yeah. Oh, grave, where is your victory, right?
Victory, yeah.
Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
So if someone says, renounce Jesus or I'm going to kill you, that's the weapon they're using, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the answer?
Nope.
You can kill me, but I'll take Jesus.
you cannot terminate my life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you may cause me to stop breathing here, but I have the assurance of an eternal life with God, right?
Yes, amen.
I know, what did Paul say? I know whom I have believed.
Yes. Yeah.
And I am
persuaded
that he is
able.
He's able to keep that which I've committed to him.
Amen.
And what have I committed to him?
My life.
My whole life.
Yes.
And my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. That assurance of eternal life is something that no one and nothing can take away from us.
Right. Amen.
You say, Derek, there's a lot of wonderful characteristics of a new covenant life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fullness of joy, freedom from guilt, experiencing the love of God and sharing the love of God, having the assurance of eternal life. But there's a fifth characteristic I'd like us to close with in our study, and it's somewhat related to the third one of not only experiencing the love of God, but sharing the love of God.
Okay.
But it's sharing something else. Maybe it's the love of God too. That's why I say they're related. Mm. But sharing the good news, sharing the gospel message is a characteristic of the new covenant life. It's not like, well, that's just something that Billy does. Or that's something that Stephanie does. No, everyone who's experiencing the new mm-hmm. covenant life, right?
Yeah.
We'll share the good news. Let's look in Matthew chapter 28, mm-hmm. verses 19 and 20. Travis, if you have that, would read it for us. And by the way, it ends by saying, even to the end of the age, mm-hmm. which means it's not just talking to his followers back then.
Mm-hmm.
It's all mm-hmm. of us, right?
Amen.
How does the word of Jesus read there in Matthew 28?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the amazing thing about Jesus, when he asks us to do something, mm-hmm. which will be a blessing to other people, mm-hmm. we will also be blessed.
Amen.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
When we let the love of God flow through us, mm-hmm. we're also blessed as the
yes.
love of God passes through us.
Mm-hmm.
When we share the gospel message mm-hmm. and the hearer has tears in his eyes,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and we're also blessed, right?
Yes, mm-hmm.
So in the minutes that are remaining, let's share some testimony. Maybe people are listening and saying, mm-hmm. does it really make a difference? And the answer is, yes, that new covenant life makes a difference. Share a time when you were blessed as you shared the gospel message with someone else. Maybe you were speaking to a large crowd in Malawi. Maybe you were speaking to one person at work. But a time when you felt blessed as you shared the gospel message with someone else. Who'd like to share? Stephanie?
Well, I'm thinking about a group of us who were doing some evangelistic seminars. And there was one person who came in to the series, and he was saying, no, I've gone too far, and I've done more than what God can forgive.
Was this, by the way, in America?
It was.
Okay.
It was. And I share with him some of the Bible promises that we have, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins.
And to
cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he actually didn't come back for a while, and then we just prayed every night. Every night we prayed for this gentleman. And toward the end of the series, he walked in the front door. And I understand he is actively involved now, but it was a group of those of us who were praying, and individuals in the church who were very involved in speaking to him personally. And I just think, you know, that's where the joy comes, right? Mm-hmm. Is when you see the fruits of what God's done mm-hmm. through mm-hmm. human beings like us who are weak and feeble.
Mm. I just realized it takes us back to the experiencing fullness of joy. That's it's right. like it keeps on going, doesn't it?
Yes.
As we live that new covenant life.
Yes. Yes.
And by the way, for those of you who couldn't see, Stephanie was smiling while she was talking about this man showed up again.
Yeah.
What a miracle of God. Mm. Sabina, do you have an experience where sharing that good news, mm-hmm. You were blessed in the process?
Absolutely. You know, Pastor Derek, like Stephanie, I've had the opportunity to participate in some missionary activities and outreach events. But I think that one that really impacted my life was when I had the chance to live for some years in Uganda. Mm-hmm. Some months in Uganda. I was there for a little more than half a year. And every week we would visit slums and places where people needed to hear the message. And I remember of a family, which was a family who was very, very poor and very unfortunate. They didn't have much. But the joy came so strong to me, Pastor Derek, because, you know, they barely could read. Mm-hmm. And we had the chance to study with them for a few weeks, and they started coming to church and bringing their kids. And eventually, you know, the kids were deciding just to participate every activity of the church. They were engaging. And I don't know how they are right now, but at this moment when I saw the transformation of the place of isolation where they were, and all of a sudden they were connected to a church group that were so close to them and now could help them to provide for education, even help them to adjust for the needs that they had. For me, it was such a great joy. I was just a little piece in that process. I removed myself from the country. I'm no longer there in Uganda, but I'm sure that they have a way to connect mm-hmm. with that church and that this was making a difference for them. It was mm-hmm. wonderful.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Billy.
Yes, back where I grew up, I went out with a friend of mine. And typically, let's say on a weekly basis, you know, we would go out and then feed the homeless, and my friend was visiting Boston, where I grew up. She decided to come along, and I'm having fun. I'm meeting those who are homeless, and I'm asking them, "What do you need?" They're like, "I'm hungry. Can you grab me some food?" So I'll go to McDonald's, grab them food, come back. I'm having a blast, and I'm hearing their stories. I'm talking to them, and then my friend just like shocked, and she's shaking. I said, "Why are you shaking?" She said, "This lady just told you that she got raped like 2 days ago, and you're not even thinking about." I'm like, "I'm thinking about, but I'm here to help her." It's basically since I've been so much around her that she hasn't been exposed to how bad the streets are. And since I'm always around them, it's something that I hear, but also I know what they need. And it's that touch, this handshake, this time that I'm spending with them, this prayer that I'm giving with them. So all that experience, and I'm so at the end of the day, I said, I'm having this is a great day because I'm able to help somebody who just had a traumatic experience the night before, and she was not the only one. Mm. There were so many other ones. So my friend was shook. She was shaken. She said, how can you process that in a day? And I said, that's the exposure. Maybe a year or 2 years afterwards, I heard that she's volunteering at a home at a center near her school that helps people who went through that. And that person is actually Shayna. She's one of the Sabbath school members, and the joy that I see is that that transformer, that she changed, I think, a career path to help those who have been abused, those who have been homeless, and now she's also comfortable in that area.
So you know what's amazing? This new covenant life is not just about us having a better life, is it?
That's right.
It's about letting others around us experience that new life in Jesus. Yes, freedom from guilt and joy and love of God and assurance of eternal life, but sharing that with those around us. Oh, my friends, if you've been inspired today, you say, "Oh, God, could you use me like that?" You know what will happen if you surrender and ask God to use you?
He will.
You will be blessed. Mm. That new covenant life will be yours day by day. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer as we bow our heads just now. Father in heaven, you've got such an amazing plan for us. And it's not just about taking care of us. It's about us joining you in your mission that others too might experience fullness of life. God, thank you for your unfailing love. Thank you for your mercy, your forgiveness, your blessings to us beyond number. May we share those blessings and point people to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. What a journey we're on. I pray that you would take the blessings you've gained and be a blessing to those around you.